getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Well, I'm lumped up, but I'm okay. It's gonna get lumped up anyway. You better call back the posse. Just getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi.
Okay, everybody, this is the Rocker Mike and Rob Presents Show. I'm Rocker Mike. We got Rob Rossi top left. And on the bottom, we have Mr. Mark Pasilico from the band Sotvo. They are a New York City local band. And, you know, me and Rob love to promote the local bands as much as we can, whether
Thank
on
you.
This show or the rock show or whatever. We're all about that. I'm going to jump right in here with Mark. Mark, I met you, well, me and Rob met you, God, it's been like 4.5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, I think at...
That Otto's Shrunken Head?
Yeah,
it was with the Suicide Watch thing for that guy that passed away.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they were like...
We were guests of Gustavo from Crimson Brulee and other goth stuff that he does. And we met you, saw your band. I really liked it.
Oh, thanks.
And unfortunately, you know, COVID came and... life came along, and we've been talking about having you on for a while, but finally you're on, so welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay. What I have here is the debut album of Sotvo. It's called Trip Preserve. We'll be talking about that a little bit. That's the album right there, 10 great tracks. Now, what I like about your band, Mark, is I can't pinpoint it as far as a style. Okay, which I like that. That's a good thing for me. Okay, I like bands that not necessarily can be pinned down into one particular label. Okay, you guys definitely fall into a post-punk, goth kind of thing, but there's more to it. I get a lot of layers in what you're doing. How would you describe your music?
Yeah, I think that you're onto something there. We try to actually do that on purpose. So like we have like different styles of songs that we just kind of don't try to write, but like once we're like in the middle of something, we realize, this is a bit more like rockabilly, like Nightmare Girl. This is more shoegaze, like this other song. So we kind of have these like three or four genres that we try to like mix together. And some songs are like purely like post-punk, like Killjoy. And then other ones like Ruiner or kind of hard rock and like, even sometimes when we play live, if we're playing pretty, you know, we get a nice like metal chug out of that song.
Right.
So I'm trying to introduce another aspect with our next EP, which is going to be kind of like a little bit of like electronica in there, where we're going to replace the bass or the guitar with some like synths to kind of like make another genre mixed in there. But it's totally on purpose that we try to make all the songs sound like they are almost a different genre from each other. Sometimes, like a couple of songs, if we've written them in close proximity, they kind of like match up and we go, those songs are twins, kind of. But yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, when we saw you guys the first time back at the end of 2019, I enjoyed you. But I just saw you guys last month at Lucky 13's in Brooklyn. And I noticed you guys, I mean, there definitely was an evolvement. I mean, the first thing I noticed is you pulled out a 12-string guitar.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was that a Rickenbacker? No, right?
Or no. It's a Jazzmaster, but then I bought a different neck for it, and I had someone do some electronic work on it for me so that it has a couple of different tricks up its sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And the original bridge on a Jazzmaster has all these little grooves on the saddles where the strings sit. So there's room for 12 strings. So it didn't really involve much except for slapping a new neck on it. And it's kind of unique because, like, I don't know anyone who has a 12-string Jazzmaster.
No, I don't recall ever seeing that live, at least, you know, with anybody.
Yeah, it has a really unique sound. I get compliments on it, like, wow, that thing sounds ridiculous. I'm like, yeah.
Now, one thing I noticed, you mentioned the shoegaze music. I've always kind of disliked that particular title. The British like to call it that. I mean, when people talk about shoegaze, one band that they lump in there with shoegaze, which I think is not, is Jesus and Mary Chain. And yes, I kind of hear a little bit of that in your music, especially that first track on the album, the song called Dreamscape.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that that was something that could have been, you know, a leftover from Psycho Candy or something like that, you know, Jesus and Mary Chain record. But I also hear a little Sonic Youth. I hear a little My Bloody Valentine. I hear a little Velvet Underground in there, you know, like
it's
Yeah, it's just it's very interesting. Now, what were you
on that Killjoy song specifically? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a combination. Literally, the song name was almost like a joke because it's supposed to sound like Killing Joke and Joy Division. And but then the chorus is totally out of like a Sonic Youth thing where it's like it starts off being very like, oh, here's a nice some nice minor chords, and then it sounds really dissonant, like. Switches. It has the same kind of chord progression, but the flavor of the chord changes to give it more of like a dissonant sound. It has definitely a Sonic Youth tinge to it.
So what's your influences?
I think like lots of stuff. Like when I was young, I listened to U2 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that the Edge does like simple stuff. Pretty melodies played bombastically, and I like that a lot. I do that a lot also because I'm not like the most talented guitar player. I can't wail and shred and stuff, but if you come up with something that's catchy and then play it big and boisterous, I think that's a good thing. And like I really like Led Zeppelin a lot, and Sonic Youth, and Shellac, like Steve Albini's band Shellac, I like a lot.
Yeah.
Although I've gotten away from trying to play odd time music, just like doing complex stuff for the sake of it. I used to like to do that, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, you guys are a three-piece band, right? How come, why only three-piece?
Straight up, it's just so much easier to get three people in a room than it is four. Every time you add a person, rehearsals get exponentially more difficult to set up.
Mm, okay.
So I figured like, if I'm going to do this like simple kind of like simple guitar work, I can sing for that. And all of a sudden, we only need three people to be in the room. And I play with a lot of weird effects and stuff to really try to fill it out. So,
okay. So you're the lead singer. You're also the guitarist.
Yeah.
Are you the main songwriter, or is it like a collaboration all around? How does it all work for you?
So the other members in the band are Hal Miller and Chris Scott. Right. And they weren't in the band when you saw us play the first time. During COVID, I started working with Hal at my house. We're freaking like wearing masks because we're scared of getting diseases from each other. and so we kind of reworked a bunch of those songs. So they were my songs, but then without Hal's input, the arrangements wouldn't be as good as they are. And then Chris is the best drummer that I've ever played with. So having him add the energy to it and like that, he has this really great enthusiasm. It adds something to the music like that. So usually I bring the riffs to the band and I kind of say like, hey, here's kind of an arrangement. And I kind of sequence it on the computer to kind of how I want it and show it to them. Then we kind of do it in the studio and then they make, you know, hey, Mark, this should be like this, or this part is actually the chorus and this part's the verse, we should reverse this. And we work on arranging songs together. I go back home again, I resequence it on the computer and say, like this? And then we kind of go back and forth like that to agree about how, like, you know, that we all like the cooking.
Okay, so it sounds like a
except for like one of our newest songs. Hal actually, one of our newest songs that's going to be on the new EP, that all stemmed from a jam that I said, oh, what if we use this this tremolo pedal to make this womp, 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 womp kind of a sound?
Mm-hmm.
And Hal took that and ran with it, came up with this really cool melody. And so, yeah, that's probably the first song that like he's been the impetus for creating, and we like it a lot. Hopefully, it'll be on our next EP.
Hopefully. So it sounds like you do have a collaboration in the way that you do. Yeah,
And it's by nature. Like I've been in bands before where like the singer guitar player is the dictator of the band, and everyone goes, yeah, we all do what you say. The shows are fun, but that's about it. And that kind of sucks for everybody in the band. You know, like it's much nicer that just to be like, hey, could you come up with a beat for this? Because I don't know, you know, you're the drummer. You come up with something better than I could ever come up with. And it makes people feel good that like everyone's collaborating, you know. It sucks not to have your voice heard in an artistic endeavor, you know.
It makes me think of Oasis. That's kind of what they went through when they started. You know, they agreed Noel would be the main songwriter. And then later on, they all wanted to write songs because they felt that he was in too much control. But that was the agreement when they started the band.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Kind of I goes exactly like what you're saying.
You want to be in the Pixies? You do what Frank Black says.
that you have to. Yeah, that you have to. Now, you're a Floral Park guy, right? Am I right?
Yeah, I grew up in Floral Park.
Yeah, for those who don't know, that's a Nassau County town, not pretty much on the Queens border.
Yeah.
I hang out there quite a bit, as Mark knows.
My high school is across the street from Belmont Racetrack. We used to see the horses. You could smell the horses.
Wow. There you go. Oh, as a side note, I don't know if you remember Bullfrogs, the bar on Jericho.
No, I mean, things change names, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's been there for about 30 years. It's right off of by St. Hedwig's on Jericho, like by Plan. What's that, Plan Dome or Plan? What's that street?
Maybe it used to be called Ray's Inn.
I think it was. Yeah, many years back, but it's been about 30 years. Bullfrogs closing on Monday.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Funny story. When Ray's, I think it's the same location that, or maybe it's across the street. Either way, but there's this place in Floral Park called Ray's Inn, and they used to definitely not let us drink there when we were underage in high school. That they would never do that. They were great people. But every time I went in there, but I was probably in there like 10 or 15 times when I was younger. Yeah. Every single time I went in there, they were playing a movie on the TV, and it was Night of the Living Dead. Every time.
Nice.
I don't know if it was a thing there, but it was weird.
I got to tell you, I've walked out of there feeling like Night of the Living Dead a few times. And going home like a zombie. But when did you start playing music? Did you always play guitar? What got you into playing?
I was mostly playing bass when I was in high school because I got a late start. Most of my friends in high school were like, in the band, like trumpet or violin or saxophone or clarinet or something, since like they were like in grade school. So I got a late start in music. So I was like, well, how can I catch up to these people who are playing guitar and stuff? So I was like, well, I'll play bass because no one else plays the bass. And I can play with my friends and it'll be easier to learn. And then at a certain point, I had moved on to baritone guitar, which is kind of like a deeply strung guitar. Like it's two and like five steps lower. And then probably the first band that I just played regular guitar in as a band is this band.
Really?
Yeah. All the other bands that I've ever been in have always been like, I played baritone, but then it was like an electronica kind of thing or a lounge act, kind of punk rock lounge act that I had at one point. This is actually the first band I've ever sung and played guitar in.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. That's cool. What's up with some live shows coming up? I saw one thing you posted about having to pay for a show. That's crazy.
That was a weird thing that popped up, where I'm not going to mention, you know, what band actually, said that, but they said, oh, you should do this show with us. We got five openers plus us. And then there was this whole weird pay to play thing. And I just texted him back after I saw the deal. I was like, no, thanks. You know, sorry, I wasted your time.
Never,
but I did kind of make a joke about it on Facebook because I thought like, man, paying them, it was basically like you had to buy $90 worth of tickets from them and then, you know, bring them out to places and sell them to your friends somehow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then that would basically pay the band. And as it turns out, it was more than that. It was like $180. And then you got a 25 minute set. So I think it was just this, that's how this band bankrolls their tour. They find local support to pay them. So they're guaranteed. And I can't tell whether it's a scam or just like a super smart business model.
I mean, I guess if if you sell the tickets, but what if you don't sell the tickets? You know, it's
then you've paid them $180 to open for them for 25 minutes.
Right. That's crazy. That sounds like total bullshit. That's,
hey, let me ask a question. How long did it take to do this album that you just released?
Well, strange. I started that album and then I stopped it because I lost all my band members during COVID. And then, so I put it aside. And then when I started playing with Hal, when we were like rewriting some of the songs, so it took like 2 years, but really.
Wow.
Yeah, because there was a big like, hit the brakes, can't really see anybody. So, but after all was said and done, and we were like, all right, now we're going to record this album. We did it ourselves. We went into the studio. We rented like a studio space where we could just set up our own recording equipment. We probably did that in like July. And in August, we kept recording all of the guitar and the drums. The way that we did the recording really was like, I kind of sequenced all the drums ahead of time, played guitar to it, Hal played drums to it, and I put did a scratch track of vocals. Then we went back and went into the studio with Chris, mic'd his drums. He listened to those tracks and played to them. And then I went back again and re-recorded guitars and re-recorded vocals to kind of like, almost like how you shoot a movie where there were like reshoots. You know, but since we're doing it ourselves, we're not paying a studio to do it. So we have equipment and knowledge about how to do recording. So that was very helpful in that we were able to like do the whole thing ourselves. So probably like in September or so, we were like, all right, it's done. And then it came time to like order CDs. So that took us through like, I forget exactly when they were completed, but it took us a while to get those because I had to figure out like who to do it and should we even do it. And I think it probably is worth it because some folks still do like to have that thing in their hot little hands, you know, like that artifact.
Yeah.
Something tangible. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep all my CDs still. I don't throw any CDs away. I still have all of my, what's this? This is a tool. I keep all my CDs because I have a feeling like, you know, you have all these things you bought, all these MP3s, whatever. And then one day they're going to come back at you and go, oh, you just rented those. We're taking them all back. And then you have nothing, you know?
Yeah.
This is my premonition about how that's going to go. And then you'll have to buy the shit all over again. So I keep everything that I have bought.
Hey, let me ask you, would the thing ever, you only did CD. Would you ever consider doing like a vinyl or something like that?
That's expensive. And I don't know that like, you know, we're a small time local band right now. So right. I think that our plan is that we're going to sell all these CDs and we're going to make some money from shows and use that money to like either buy more CDs and make some t-shirts and try to like have it be self-contained where we see, well, if we're making some money at this, then we'll just put that back in and we'll use it to do that. But like, I think in order to get a record pressed, you have to like you have to drop like $5,000 or so.
Yeah,
and that's a bit much for us.
Wow.
Right. And I mean, I remember years back in the 70s when there was a gas crisis and oil was expensive and everything, they started using a cheaper type of vinyl because of it.
Okay. Oh, really?
For years now, since the vinyl thing has come back, which I think is fantastic, they use a very good quality vinyl, like the 180 gram or 250 gram.
It's excellent now. Excellent. It's
nice and heavy. It's perfect. I just wonder if that's going to change with the way gas prices are now and all that. Who knows?
Yeah, I wonder if that also has to do with the fact that, you know, records aren't necessarily this mass-produced thing. They're kind of like a boutique thing, a run of 1,000, a run of 10,000. Yeah. So like, well, if we're only going to make 10,000, we need to sell them for 30, 40 bucks a piece. So they might as well be good quality, you know?
That's what they're doing. They're selling, you know, these things for 30, 40, 50 even. Like, but it's cool because, you know, the sound is great. Most companies that I see, they're really putting in the extra work. Like, I know I've rebought a lot of things on vinyl that I even had on vinyl from years ago. Okay. Just because. For instance, like the first four Ramones albums, okay, they got re-released over the last few years in these box set type things with a stereo version, a mono version on vinyl, CDs of everything in that set, okay, the original artwork. This is the kind of things that you're seeing with vinyl, you know, they're doing these big sets and it is expensive. It's like $50 or $80. Even, you know, like that. So I can see why you can't. But you know what I've noticed too, and I kind of get a chuckle out of this, is some of these bands, even small bands, they're putting things out on cassette. I mean, who's playing cassettes?
Is anybody- I don't know, but I mean, that might have something to do with like places that used to do cassette duplication have sold all their like old duplicators, and people pick them up and like, you know, they've got four or five at home and they make them. I don't. Maybe it's a cottage industry kind of thing, because usually when you see these cassettes, they're not the packaging. It looks like it's just kind of like someone printed it at home and put a J card in there. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
I wonder like if that's more of a cottage industry thing.
But I've seen it at a lot of merch tables for small bands, even, you know, there's a bunch of cassettes.
We actually, so we have the CDs that we have, but also I bought a whole bunch of thumb drives from Amazon, because they cost like $2 for 2 gigs a piece.
And nothing, yeah.
And you can chuck MP3s and video on there and the album art and stuff like that. And like, you know, for $2, I can say, hey, DJ, would you like our album for free, just because, so that you could like maybe spin our stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's a good business move right there.
Yeah, that's very good.
I think that's very smart. So what do you have coming up as far as live shows? Anything good?
Yeah, so on the 18th of April, we're playing at a place called Sleepwalk in Bushwick, mm-hmm. which is a cool spot. It's kind of like they kind of like modeled it after like Germany between the wars, so it has this kind of like Art Deco, Art Nouveau kind of look in there.
I've never been there. What street is that on?
It's on Flip. I don't know what street it's on, but it's right near the L train stop, like
Jefferson
Avenue or Cypress Ave. Shoals Street. It is.
Oh, it's Skull Street. Okay,
Skull Street.
It's Skull Street. I know where
it's
that
not
is.
Not on Skull Street, but it's on the main street that Skulls, yeah. that Skulls hits right near there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also, I think Pink Metal is right next door to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got an idea.
But it's a cool spot. Like in the back, they've got a decent sized room. Maybe it fits like 70 or 80 people, with a sound system that's like way too good for the room. Like it's really nice there. I highly recommend any local band, like go hit up Sleepwalk, because the place is awesome. Brooklyn. And the guys that run it are fantastic. I think that they might own other places, or like a group of like four or five dudes might have like their money into a few different bars and venues around the area, and that they kind of like invest in each other's places and like help lift each other up. And it's a good spot. Go there. So we have that on the 18th of April. And then on May 2nd, we're playing in Jersey City at a place called Pet Shop. And we've played there before, and it's great. It's like up front is kind of like a pub. I think that it's a vegetarian menu that they have.
Okay.
And then they have all kinds of like craft beers and stuff like that. But then in the back is this nice big open space. There's no stage. They just kind of roll in a PA. And on a Thursday at around like 8 o'clock, the place is jamming, and you get to play for lots of folks that had never seen you before, just because they kind of have a captive audience, which is really cool. And the guys that run it are super duper into local music. You'll see a lot of like local, like Jersey bands play there. I remember playing with a band called Painters mm-hmm. there, and Painters rock. On the 18th, we're playing with Ice Blink. Also fantastic. Check out Ice Blink.
Yeah. You know, the two places you mentioned, you know, in Brooklyn and Jersey City, I mean, there's these little scenes happening in both those places. You know, basically in Bushwick, there's lots of little clubs. I know one band that I'm very, that I'm a big fan of for years now is Daddy Long Legs. And they play Bushwick constantly. Even in Williamsburg, they play like Skinny Dennis and places like that too. Next neighborhood over from Bushwick.
I'll have to pick your brain for more places to play, because you're probably more knowledgeable than me.
Well, Skinny Dennis is more of a country place. You're not going to get a gig there. They get country rockabilly stuff. Maybe you can get there. I don't know. I think they pretty much cater to that. Daddy Longlegs is like a blues country band.
Okay.
But there's that other place in Bushwick. What the heck is it called now? Been there a couple of times. It's E-L, like Spanish, L something. It's off the top. I got to get back to you about it. Forget the name. But it's
Cortez?
Like...
Cortez? No.
Cortez, right? Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it is El Cortez. And it's on Ingram Street, off of Morgan Avenue, around there. And that's a great place. They got a, you know, restaurant downstairs. You play upstairs, decent sized stage. There's like an outside area upstairs where everybody can hang out, smoke and whatever, vape, whatever they do. And
we were actually rehearsing at a place called Our Wicked Lady for a while, thinking, oh,
it's
cool.
It's down the street from Our Wicked Lady. Our Wicked Lady play up on the roof. I like that.
Yeah, we were rehearsing there for a while. And we're like, oh, cool, this is great. Well, we'll have our rehearsal space there. It was kind of small, but at a certain point, we're like, oh, we'll look for a gig. We'll try to play here. And they wouldn't get back to us ever. I mean, we tried to glom on with other shows. It just did not happen for us. And we're like, man, all we would have to do is bring our stuff up the stairs. And no go.
What were you going to say, Rob?
I think the place is 251 Bushwick Avenue.
That's for Sleepwalk?
That's
Sleepwalk? Yeah. Oh, okay. That sounds right.
Yeah.
That's a sweet spot. If you see anyone you like playing there, go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the website. They have a lot of stuff going on in this place. Mm-hmm.
And they do that thing, you know, that everyone's doing in New York recently, where like they have bands early and the curfew for the bands is like 11 o'clock-ish. Then they say like, all right, the DJs are starting. It's time to dance. Because like rents are so high, like it seems like every venue has to like double book every night, you know. So live music and then like, all right, let's get the DJs in and get the butts moving in the dance floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
But it is now.
Ever since like Lit Lounge and like Fat Baby on the Lower East Side started doing that, like, all right, the bands are in the basement so that we don't get noise complaints. And then and the Delancey did that. Yeah. It seems like it's the new business model since like the late 90s. Like, it's been a while now that's the business model.
Yeah, it's true. And you got to double book like that because the rents are so high.
Yeah, and you can't trust bands to bring in people. They'll lie and say, oh, we got 100 people coming. And then like three people show up and they sold two beers.
I don't think, to be honest with you, even since COVID, I don't think live music has totally come back yet. I've been to a few shows that have been crowded. But for the most part, I see, you know, half.
I don't know, Mike. I go to Madison Square Garden. I've been to. You go to Pier 17. It's insane. People do want live music. The problem is there's not enough venue in New York City anymore to have live booking.
Yeah, that's true. I'm talking about like club places. But Pier 17, they always have a big crowd there.
I haven't seen a show there yet. I'm dying to like have them pop up. And
you're right under the Brooklyn Bridge. It's very cool.
Gorgeous.
I saw the Cult there in 2022. That was the last time I was there in the summer of 22.
Did Blondie and Devo play there last year?
Yes, they did.
That was a
Ween. You saw Ween at Pier 17. I also saw the Pixie with Modest Mouse. And Cat Powers.
I've never seen Pixies play. Never, ever.
I've seen the Pixie. I'm the record. I've seen the Pixie about 15 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But coming up, I think Social Distortion's playing there, right? Isn't that a
Social
double
Social Distortion and Bad Religion. I don't see if I make some phone call. Get some VIP.
I don't think my sideburns are long enough to go to that show. Maybe I got to work on that.
You can get tickets, Rob. You think for that?
Let's see if I get tickets. I'll make one or two phone calls, see what I can get.
I'm in.
I have a girl that actually runs the place for Heineken, but I don't know if Heineken is still the beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll figure that out once the season starts to go over there. If I can get some tickets, you know.
All right, cool. Be into that. So, Mark, basically, let me ask you this. You're playing some shows coming up. I mean, are you leaving the area or at all? You thinking of taking this show on the road a little bit?
I'm not sure. I know, like, I have a professional kind of job, and so does my drummer. So yeah. Like, we're kind of like doing it for fun, you know, around New York City.
Okay.
We've talked about that, but then like, you know, it hasn't gone too far. It's possible that we would go up to like New Haven or to Albany or to Philadelphia to play, but I'm an old dude. There's probably no touring in our future. So we'll try to make music and have fun and have people show up and shake their butts.
Touring is tough, man.
I said, my drummer, Chris, he like is a software engineer and he has a real career. I work at Disney, so I got a regular career like that's long term. So like, you know, it's nice to have the music as a creative outlet, but you know, there's also real life.
Okay, cool. All right, Mark Basilico, I want to thank you for coming on the Rocker Mike and Rob Presents show.
Yeah.
And thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rock Mike.
Telling us about this great new band. They're called Sotvo, S-O-T-V-O, Sotvo. And they play all around the New York City area. He just mentioned a show in Brooklyn. Check them out, definitely. And you can find Mark on Facebook under his name, Mark Posilico. Mark, do you mind me giving that out? This way people can get in touch.
Yeah, that's cool. We also have Sotvo underscore music.
Okay. Sotvo underscore music. All right. And we wish you all the best. And I'm going to probably see you again soon.
All right, cool. Look for our music. You can find it on Apple and Spotify. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can steal it for like 45 second TikToks. Yay.
Nice. And can the album be bought anywhere or just through you?
Just to us at our shows. We don't, you know, we self-made it. We self-recorded it. We just wanted to have like a document of this of these great songs that we made. So basically the only way to get it is pretty much to come to a show and get it from us. But you could download the thing easily from Apple or from Spotify or listen on Spotify.
We have a link to the CD if somebody want to buy it. Is that on your Facebook page?
No, I'm not even selling them online because I'll just like... If you come to a show, I'll sell you one cheap.
How much is it? Like $10?
Yeah, I'm selling it for $10.
$10.
All right. That's not bad. That's pretty good for, you know, for people that want a CD, like an actual package of CD.
I'm trying to do this. He literally bought the first one from me ever.
That's right. I walked right up to you when you were getting off the stage. I'm like,
that was really nice, man.
Cool. All right. So, Mark, thank you very much. And
thank you, guys.
Be in touch. And just all the best to you. So, what do we say?
What day is it that you do at Sleepwalker? What's that date again?
Oh, Sleepwalker is April 18th. And then Pet Shop in Jersey City is May 2nd.
May 2nd. All right. That's good to know.
Okay. So, Rob, what do we say at the end of every show?
We don't get drunk.
We get lumped up.
We'll see you next time.
Take care, people.
I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Well, I'm lumped up, but I'm okay. It's gonna get lumped up anyway. You better call back the posse. Just getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi.